What's up, suckers? It's me. I'm back, and I wanted to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart and also kind of an interesting phenomenon that I have encountered as an ADHD person and working with ADHD people. But before we do that, if this is your kind of thing, if learning about ADHD apps or learning how to deal with ADHD or anything of that nature is your kind of thing, please, please make sure that you like and subscribe. It helps me find cool people. It helps cool people find me. And that's the whole point. So, hobbies. I actually have a number of them. And when I tell people this, I have noticed that I tend to get kind of a shirty response where people are like, oh, well, I wish I had the time or must be nice. And at first I wasn't quite sure where these comments were coming from. Until I realized that the way that we think about hobbies is completely wrong. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, so let's go ahead and back up a second and talk about, first off, what hobbies look like when ADHD brains are working with them. So I don't think I need to tell anybody who's watching this that working with hobbies or finding hobbies or keeping hobbies when you have ADHD is very, very hard. A lot of us are hobby collectors where we pick up something new, we get really into it, and we drop it and never come back to it, or drop it for like 6 months and come back to it. And there's a lot of shame and frustration and embarrassment tied to this. And I'm just gonna break through some of that shame right now and just tell you, if you're watching this, that this is a very recognized phenomenon amongst people with ADHD. The process actually even has four recognized stages. You have the curiosity stage, the excitement stage, the enjoyment stage, and then the boredom stage. And so when you're doing the creativity stage is your discovery stage. It's the part where you have just started learning about this hobby. Like if we were to put it all of this in relationship terms, this is where you have just seen that cute person across the way in the cafe, and you're starting to wonder if maybe they might like you. So you're starting to pay attention to how they take their coffee, and you're doing little flirty glances at each other, and you're kind of starting to realize that maybe there might be something there. You're doing a lot of research into your hobby. You're learning as much as you can, asking questions, listening to podcasts, reading books, anything that you possibly can to learn more and more about this thing that you are hoping to take into your life. We love learning. We love novelty. So we barrel into the excitement phase. Sticking with the relationship metaphor, this is where maybe you've asked the other person out or they've asked you out and there's been an acceptance and there's going to be a date. You're so excited. You're telling everybody you know about this hobby or about this person even. And you're, you know, getting everything together. You're getting ready for it. You're fantasizing about where this hobby might go, how great you might be at it, how it might be the new thing that gives you purpose in your life, buying instruments for it, buying tools of the trade. You're all in, baby. You are all in. Which leads us into the enjoyment phase. And the enjoyment phase is the day of the date, right? It's the moment that you decide to make your dream a reality. You are showing up to that class or starting that painting or starting that podcast. But then it's not often what we dreamed, right? Never underestimate the power of an ADHDer's imagination and how far it can go and how unrealistic it might be. And so once we see that this relationship is not going to automatically, right away, lead to marriage and a picket fence and that Americana dream, we lead to the boredom aspect of things, where now we're kind of feeling less interested. We don't want to call that person again or do that hobby again. And so we tend to walk away. We become frustrated or, well, bored, and we walk away. And a lot of the things that I see out there will attribute this to us learning everything that we possibly could have learned about the hobby and we just feel stagnant, but it could even have something to do with running into an issue that you just didn't see coming, and it seems like it would be more work to work through it than to just give up. Sometimes we have thought about this thing and thought about this thing and thought about this thing so much in the last 3 months that we've officially gotten to the point where we are bored with it and we've hit a wall and we don't want to do it anymore. Whatever the reason, we walk away. And then because we have been taught societally that walking away from something that matters to us or changing our mind about something that we said we were going to do must mean that we're flaky and unreliable, we are embarrassed, we're ashamed, and we tie that to the hobby, which means that we may not go back to it ever, or we will, but it won't be for months. So if this sounds like you, and you do kind of wish that you could stick to hobbies more often, you first have to understand why we go through this cycle. And I want you to keep in mind, I am not a neuropsychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm just a person who has ADHD and works with people who have ADHD a lot. And I believe that it comes down to two main reasons, and they could be happening simultaneously or it could be one or the other, but the two main reasons that we don't stick to our hobbies have to do with, one, that we turn our hobbies into jobs. And I want to make it clear that I'm not just talking about businesses. I mean this both literally and figuratively. I do think that a lot of us make the mistake of saying, oh, I'm really good at this. I'm going to make this into a business. And then you realize, wait, this isn't as fun when I have someone yelling in my face because I didn't do this according to their parameters, when this isn't the way that I would do it. Or now I have to do this even when I don't feel like doing it. Takes the fun out of it, for sure. But I'm also talking about those of us who decide that we are going to angst over whether or not we do our hobby enough, whether or not we spend enough time doing it, whether or not we're good enough at it. When we do these things, we completely erase, or forget rather, the whole point of a hobby in the first place. Hobbies, when you do them right, are supposed to leave you feeling energized, they're supposed to leave you feeling self-actualized, and they're supposed to help you decompress. If you are feeling more stressed out when you are doing your hobby, this is either not the hobby for you, or you are worrying about it way, way, way too much. The second reason why we tend to have problems with hobbies or sticking to hobbies is because we get tripped up by perfectionism. We tend to freak out the moment that we're not great at these things. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that during that excitement phase, we have in our heads that we're going to be amazing at this thing, right? We've skipped 19 steps ahead of that first step. And we're already thinking about what it's going to feel like. Let's use, for example, baking. We're already thinking about what it's going to feel like when we build our first 3-tier wedding cake, without realizing that we gotta kind of learn to make cupcakes first, right? Some of us may even need to learn how to turn on our oven first. But we forget that because we're so excited about that end game, that end goal. And then when we're struck by reality and we realize, hey, this is gonna actually take some energy, this is gonna take time, I'm not perfect right away, I'm actually going to be making things that are imperfect first, it kind of shatters that exciting, dopamine-heavy dream we had, and we struggle with continuing to do it because now we're kind of demoralized, and so we wind up walking away. As it is, ADHDers struggle really, really hard with perfection. So imagine how it must feel when you are trying to do something for fun and you have to be okay with making mistakes as well. It makes things very, very difficult. So if you're wondering how to stick with hobbies, let's go back to what I said in the beginning in the video about how people tend to get upset at me for having multiple hobbies. I realized eventually that the reason why people responded the way they did is that they assumed that when I said I had multiple hobbies, that that meant that I was doing them every day or all the time. And that's not what hobbies are about. So there are three things that I try to keep in mind whenever I start any new hobby, and we're just going to kind of jump right into what those are. Hopefully they help you. I hate that I have to say this in this day and age, but if it doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean that you are hopeless, and it doesn't mean that I'm a hack. It means that we are different people, and it might be time for you to find something else that works. Maybe it's even these concepts, and you just need to adjust it for your life. That said, what I would do first is probably the hardest part, because it's a mindset shift. But what you first have to do is change the way that you think of hobbies in the first place. Go easy on yourself. I think that this is something that even neurotypical adults, just any busy adult, needs to work on. You need to understand that your hobby exists for you, not the other way around. And once you remove that pressure from your shoulders, it'll be a lot easier for you to remember that you can work on whatever project you want. It can take however long you need. You can give up on that project whenever you want. You can come back to that project however and whenever you want. That this is your show, and the whole point is to have fun with it. It also means that it's going to kind of tweak your relationship with being imperfect. Sometimes, if somebody really wants to do a hobby or get into a hobby and they're not sure how because they're afraid that the moment that things get imperfect, they're just going to quit, I tell them to pick something they already know they're bad at. You know, if you know that you're a bad singer and you're not afraid of crowds, go to karaoke. If you know that you can't draw, draw anyway. The whole point is to have fun with it, not to be perfect at it, and not to have a perfect schedule for it either. You do it when you can. The second thing is a little bit more tactical and a little bit more tangible, and that's that when you pick up a new hobby, the best thing that you can do is start slow. Part of the reason we get to boredom so fast is because when we want to learn how to do something, we want to learn how to do everything. Right? And then once we've learned how to do everything, we also want to jump in with both feet and get tools and instruments and things like that that maybe we're not ready for yet. So what you want to do is you want to leave a little bit of mystery. You want to leave a little bit of something to the imagination, as it were. So going back to that baking example, if you're really interested in baking, great. I highly suggest trying it. I've even been thinking of trying it, of course. But as you're learning how to do it, don't jump straight to buying like that weapons-grade bread maker and a double boiler and a number of different kinds of thermometers. Start out with one project in mind or one small thing in mind, work towards that, and then once you have finished with that, kind of dangle that carrot on a stick in front of you. Your reward is that you're going to get to upgrade to a new project, or you're going to be able to get that new piece of equipment. But don't jump straight in, because once you jump straight in, especially if you jump straight into something where you're going to be buying a lot of professional equipment that maybe you're not ready for yet, the moment that you realize that that professional equipment isn't going to serve you quite yet, or that you are not on the level to use those things, or that you have overspent for where you are in your hobby, not only does that add to the shame and the embarrassment that you really shouldn't be feeling, but you probably would because you can't help it, it's also going to make things more uncomfortable for you when you haven't touched it in a while. And it's also going to put more pressure on you so that you don't feel like you can say, actually, this doesn't serve me. I don't want to do this anymore. Which leads me to the third thing, and it kind of ties into the first thing a little bit, and that is being okay with walking away. Changing your perception of what it must mean for you to say that a hobby doesn't serve you. Maybe it doesn't serve you now. Maybe it needs to change and evolve to fit where your life is now. But none of that makes you anything more than a human being with a curious mind and a wide amount of varied interests. It doesn't make you flaky or unreliable in any shape or form. And like I said, sometimes you just need to drop the hobby for now. Maybe it's not necessarily that you never want to do it again. Maybe it's just that you've been thinking about it so much that your brain needs some time to think about something else. Remember, ADHD brains love novelty. And if you have been hitting it with the same thing every day for 3 months, and maybe you're in a spot where you're not getting a lot of novelty in that hobby, maybe it just needs a break. But even if that's not the case, and even if it's just something that doesn't speak to you anymore or that never spoke to you, you tried it once, realized it wasn't your thing, and walked away, you tried it, you tested it, and that's more than most people can say. And lastly, I kind of wanted to leave a little note here for people who maybe don't have a hard time sticking to the hobby necessarily, but they do have a problem with finding time to do their hobbies. And I know that people hate when I say these things because they think I'm oversimplifying. But unfortunately, the truth is the truth, and the truth is that you have to make time for your hobbies. You have to. If you feel as if you have been wanting to do this hobby and you just haven't found time in the last 3 months, there's not really anything that anybody outside of you can do besides prioritizing yourself and trying to find where your hobby is going to fit. The truth is, if you've been following me for any amount of time, you know that I also truly believe that you should at least be taking 10 minutes to take care of yourself every day. And that can include your hobby. But if your hobby doesn't fit into those 10 minutes, you absolutely still have to find a place where it can fit. If your problem isn't necessarily that you have a hard time sticking to your hobby, it's more that you wish you had more time to do it, then there's got to be something else that you can give up for the time for that hobby. Maybe it's that you've got to learn to say no to people when they ask for social obligation. Maybe it means that you're going to have to set timers on your phone. Maybe it means that you're going to have to pencil it in on your calendar and treat that as if it is sacrosanct, like writing it in pen, I mean. Keep in mind that this isn't, it is for fun, but it is also about making you feel more human, making you feel more connected with who you are as a human being. And if that's not a reason to make sure that you carve out some time, I don't know what is. So anyway, that's that. Of course, you can leave comments or questions, and I am more than happy to answer any of them. Take good care of yourselves, please. Remember that hobbies are part of that. Of course, drink plenty of water. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next video or on the next podcast episode.